Welcome to One Poem Only. I'm Maggie Devers. On Sundays, we do things a little differently. Instead of just one poem, today I'll read all the poems from the past week. A quiet recap, a second listen, or maybe a first chance to catch what you missed. And at the end, I'll share one new poem to carry us into the week ahead. So settle in, and let's revisit this week in verse. And then, something fresh to close. I Don't Remember Being Small by Momina Khan. I was sitting beside her, my not sister. We were eating oranges and she was laughing with her whole mouth open like joy had never betrayed her. I held my fruit too carefully, too clean, trying not to let the juice run down my wrists. She said, "You never eat like you're hungry." I said, "I don't think I am. I don't remember being small. There are photos of me, hair sticking out in all directions, one sock off, holding a stick like it was a sword. I must have been wild once. I must have screamed and reached for things. But the memory of that version of me has been folded up so many times, the edges have worn off. I only know her through photographs. I used to think gentleness was my personality. It took me 10 years to realize it was fear. When I was 12, I stopped raising my voice, stopped correcting people when they said my name wrong. I learned the art of shrinking. I mistook stillness for safety. But safety is not always safe. Sometimes it's just hiding in better lighting. She said, "You can take the last orange." I said, "You can have it." I always say that. I always let them have it, but I wanted it too. I did. I think I'm just waiting for someone to notice. I think I'm just waiting for someone to say, "Take it." I think I'm just waiting to be small again. What Are We? By Laker Patience. What are we? Is there even a we, or is it possibly just a you and a me? A concoction of delusion, desire, mismatched expectations with no actual communication. What are we? What is this? Because my soul can't keep skinny dipping in the misread signals of others. It can't. My heart can't keep bungee jumping off of platforms made from shaky commitment. Committing to shaky commitment. It's exhausting. It's exhausting to keep trying to cultivate seed in farmlands offered to you as fertile, that bear testimony of harvest, of bounty, to watch them yield for everyone else except you. I can't keep stripping for eyes that refuse to see me. Why bare my soul when the only parts of me you desire to see naked are flesh, my breasts, hips, butt, and lips that don't speak, as though if they could you'd even bother to listen. I can't. Can't keep holding open houses for the prime real estate that is my body, existence, being. To have prospects take tours, show interest, ask questions, eat cookie, make offers, only for them to turn around and declare I am not what they're looking for. It's dangerous how proficient I've gotten at deploying parachutes during trust falls, at spotting plot holes in confessions and potholes in promises, surprised only if they remain unbroken. I can't. Can't keep putting my love up for adoption. Can't keep fostering it in seemingly loving homes, only for it to keep being returned to me. Each time a little more traumatized. Each time a little more broken. So, before we waste my time, before we paint memories in vibrant sounds and oversaturated colors that I'll only recall and graze as fantasy, before we make me believe that I jumped off the edge alone, unprompted, with delusion as my safety instructor and your words in my ears and hand in mine. Make belief before we gaslight me into believing that your actions didn't drive me to conclusions of claim, of more. Knowing full well that 93% of all communication is nonverbal. Before we subject me to all that. And I'm forced to look with eyes puffy and incapable of seeing myself attached to worth, forced to look with those eyes for all the parts of me that make me defective and unworthy of love with weight, with claim. Again, what are we? What is this? Because it feels kind of shaky. Green Soup by Tabitha Dial. Halloween Night 2020. From a quiet keeping space, I promise my mother ghosts to create meals and music. Even if from dry bones and tangled memories, my vow is I unstem kale and spinach, add it to the copper-lined pot with green onion, cilantro, Yukon golds, and snap peas. Remember when I made your favorite soup last year? I caramelize the onions and recall that patient pot. I've spent almost 2 hours at the stove. There's only a little more. The garlic and ginger sizzle in the pan, then slide into the pot. Another 10 minutes. I add the broth, taste. I follow the recipe, as one day I'll follow you. Blend in batches, return to pot, simmer, flavor with lemon juice, white vinegar, salt, pepper, cumin, chili powder, and the sound of your name. The Spider by Philippe Blenkiron. Is God a spider? I asked, constantly weaving electron threads into spiraling elemental webs. His iron will, spun with a silk of liquid steel, torn by the slightest of whims. His tenacious tapestry resewn, a glistening embroidery of frosted jeweled fibrils. God scares me, you said. In the corner of the room, observant, unmoving, a silent host of eyes. His uncanny mechanics, a mystery of hydraulic ink wrapped in adhesive shadow. But he's a friend, she replied. Call him carpenter, cellar dweller, a long-limbed daddy, because he eats flies like sins, labors in your shed while you hammer and nail, accompanies your best wine. Raise a toast, man. Raise your cup high, to the ceiling, to him. Then you can slide something thin between the glass and the wall and take him outside, so he doesn't bother anyone. Coffin Monologue, the non-rhyming rant poem, by Manasvita Sukthankar. I love myself, but which one? Can I love the person that most hate? Does she deserve the ache in her chest? It feels like being trapped in a coffin alive, like death is leaning by the doorframe. If so, I'd like it to carry me home and leave me on my bedroom floor to stay. Maybe I feel safer in this coffin. No one can get to me. Maybe it's a shield that saves me. But from whom? The weight of this world? I wonder how it's bearing the weight. It feels like it's made of glass. I wish to be as strong as the coffin. But maybe it's because it's got a heart of steel, too. I don't know if I should try to escape. Is the coffin written in my fate? Should I bang it from the inside? Can anyone hear? Or should I let it engulf my soul? It already trapped my body. I'm a corpse soon to be. Death is more alive than the life in me. My eyes would say the same. I feel like if words cut me deep, I'm not sure I'll even bleed. Would that mean I'm dead on the inside? Or that my heart is asleep? When my flesh starts to rot and the worms come my way, will they consider me supper? Or am I unwanted in the afterlife too? That I should have gone sooner. Is this the hell that humans run away from? Well, I found it in this life. I could have a party with the ghosts that haunt me. I found something I could call my own. The party has begun. It's loud in my head. There are balloons darker than the dreams I weave, confetti with shimmer and silence, candles burning like they're coming for me, and a cake with fractured frosting. Maybe the worms and the ghosts could be friends. They both feed on me, after all. The party has come to an end, and mine has come too. I felt it come a lot sooner, but time warp is real. I think these words I gather myself to spit out are heavier than my coffin in the ground. Maybe the earth could put me to sleep and cradle me with a lullaby. Okay, that's it. Good evening, good night, or whenever you're reading this. I would peel pomegranates for you. Not just slice them open, but gently with my fingers stained red, I would learn its anatomy, the way they bruise and break if held too harshly, the way they hold memories in every seed. I would sit at the table, a bowl between us as I unraveled the fruit slowly, almost reverently. I'd gather the delicate pieces and offer them to you like little treasures, letting the juice spill, dark and intoxicating. And in the simple act, I'd tell you everything, talk to you about the world and nothing at all. That I chose you, I see you. I would peel pomegranates for you, I'd say giggling, as I pop a seed in my mouth. By Harim Ismail. Last Sunday, I read you the birthday poem from my birthday last year, and this Sunday, I've promised you the birthday poem from my birthday this year, which is on November 4th, so 2 days from the date this podcast airs. It's become kind of a tradition writing a poem for my birthday as kind of a way to mark where I am in my life. They're never my favorite poems because poetically, I don't challenge myself. I really just write what I want, and I'm very loose about editing them because I want them to kind of stand for the moment. Maybe I'll go back and make them better, quote-unquote, but for me, they're kind of a general specific that I usually try to avoid when I write other forms of poetry. But I feel as poets, as people, we should not give in to our whims, but we should embrace our whims. Embrace what makes us happy, especially if we're writing a poem to ourselves for our birthday. So yeah, here it is. 43 Is by Maggie Devers. This poem is after Moth-Eaten Curtain. 24 is driving without a steering wheel, moving forward at a clip, bumping into all that enchants you until you fall out a window. Literally. And you find it necessary to relearn how to climb stairs. You are empty, but 30 is flirting with the one you love, obsessing deeper into everything you seek. 35 is big and round and swollen, and you are full of life, not metaphorically, though that would be simpler. Your dreams are tangible and you learn how to feel them. That's 43. When poetry comes into focus and you write all you want. It's yours. If you'd like to read more poetry by me, my book, For My Daughter, is out now. Thank you for listening, poetry lover. Come back tomorrow. The curtain rises again.